always have been before you, O Father. You know every thought, and yet you love the same. Bought with great price, I've been granted your free gift of salvation. I've been before his throne, though I was blind by sin, he sought my soul to win. Oh, praise his name, he set me free. I've seen Calvary, I've seen his love for me, I've seen Jesus. In Christ I have received full forgiveness. The Lord is so good and ready to forgive. His tender mercies are plenteous to those who will seek him. Lord, for you I'll live. I've been saved by grace. By grace alone, I've seen the Savior's face. I've been before his throne, though I was blind by sin, he sought my soul to win. Oh, praise his name, he set me free. I've seen Calvary, I've seen his love for me, I've seen Jesus. I've seen Calvary, I've seen his love for me, I've seen Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Aaron. Please grab your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 12, and why don't we stand and we'll stretch as we read the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 12, please. First Kings chapter 12. And then put your finger there, and then we're gonna sort of hang out in Proverbs this morning. First Kings chapter 12. I want you to look at this little story, and then we're not gonna really elaborate on it. We're gonna look at a bunch of verses in Proverbs. First Kings chapter 12, verse number 1. We have a new leader coming on the scene here, and 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. That's Rehoboam. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, Jeroboam in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart ye yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And so they requested a certain type of a leadership style for the new king. And he said, come back in 3 days. And then verse 6, and the king and King Rehoboam consulted. Now I want you to notice here, this is the king getting advice. And we're going to talk about this morning. The king is getting counsel. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men, okay, that stood before Solomon, his father. These are proven older men that have been around a while, and they have a lot of experience. I was talking to Brother Stevenson yesterday, And Brother Stephen said, we have good men. Brother Albert is fantastic. And Brother Otsna is good. Brother Stephen's been in construction for how long, Brother Stevenson? How long have you been in construction, doing different types of construction? How many years? 50? 40? How long have you been doing construction? Different types of construction? 55 years. He started when he was 4. Okay. So 55 years in construction. You can't, nothing can replace experience. He was counting. He got to count up to 55 right there. And the king Rehoboam consulted again, verse 6, with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, "How do you advise that I may answer this people?" So he's getting some counsel from the older guys. Verse 7, "And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them," and by the way, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what Jesus said we're supposed to do as leaders. We're supposed to serve our followers. And this was wonderful advice. "And we'll serve them and answer them and speak good words to them and don't be tyrannical type to them. Then they will be thy servants forever." Look at verse 8. "But he forsook the counsel of the old men." He forsook the counsel. Forsook the what class? Counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men. Oops. We're not going to read the rest of the story, but consulted with the young men that were grown up with him. That's our peers. And which stood before him. Father, help us to just get a thought this morning. There's so much that can be said, and there's a lot said in your word. We're only down here on this ball that we call the world for just a little while. And we can't become experts in every area all by ourselves. But you've given us biblical principles by which to live, and help us to get one very important principle this morning that can really help us in really every area of our lives. And might your Holy Spirit have his will and his way. And Lord, we cry out to you for your help. Without you, we can do nothing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. This truth that I want to just share with you, real simple, very simple, can save a marriage. This truth can save your children from going astray. This truth can bring a child back that has gone astray. This truth can help lead you to a blessed life purpose. I don't think there's anything wrong with the word career, but God, I think a better way of talking about our future is a life purpose. In other words, God has a purpose for our life, and that's what we should be seeking after. This truth can prevent unnecessary debt. This morning, I just want to speak on one word, counsel. 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 My life, I'm 50. I'll be 50. You're 50. When's your birthday? 25th, right? Brother Myers is going to join the fraternity of us 450-year-olds in this church. This is a young church. No, we have more than 4. He's going to be 50. You've almost caught up with me. Give us a couple years, you pass me. But my life, 51 years, I'll be 52, like soon, like real soon. I'll be 52 real soon. But my life is a series of unprecedented blessings. Just, I never would have thought that I would have all the blessings in my life, but I can attribute much of it to this one word, counsel. Yes, counsel. Me getting godly counsel. Counsel. By the way, I've mentioned this. We have Brother Suter coming. He has a huge international counseling ministry. I've listened to close to 30 of his messages in the past couple weeks. And one thing after listening to all of his messages is this: I am convinced a lot more people need counsel than are getting it. Convinced. 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 By the way, I don't want to go into it, but one main reason we don't get counsel is because men are too proud. Okay, but nobody can tell me what to do. Okay, it's usually the lady trying to grab her husband's ear. Come on, let's go to the pastor's office or go to someone to get some help. Men are going, "Hey, there's no problem going on here. Everything's okay." It's like the counselor that was with a couple one day, and the counselor said, now, sir, on a scale of 0 to 10, where do you think your marriage is? And he's like, 8.5, 9, something like that. And then he turns to the wife and says, on a scale of 0 to 10, where's your marriage? And she's like, -5. He looks at her and says, what? He says, yeah, -5. Maybe -10. Okay? But counsel. We need counsel to get to the root problems in our lives, or we will suffer with these root problems like a cancer patient suffers that never gets help. They say early detection and getting to the root of the cancer is the key to beating the cancer. So it is with our problems. We must have somebody properly diagnose us and give us the proper spiritual medication. By the way, some people think because they're good in one area, they're good in all areas. You know, here's some guy, and he knows how to take care of himself physically, and he goes to the gym, and he's right nutrition, and he's real, you know, he's like none of us on this platform, but he looks good, and he's slim and trim and everything, but his marriage is falling apart. Or you have a guy that, him and his wife love each other, and, man, they're just hugging each other, and they love each other, and, man, what a wonderful marriage, but their kids are demons. Or maybe you have somebody that, by the way, many business people, they make a lot of money, and they're very disciplined in their business practice and how they do business, but their family's falling apart. And so you say, what is it that God advises us to do? Get counsel. We need counsel for our personal walk with God. We need counsel for our marriage. We need counsel for our rearing of our children. We need counsel to discover our life purpose. We need counsel to discover our life partner, our future life partner. By the way, we need counsel for future retirement. Okay, so, be careful about these guys on the radio, and they're saying, hey, let's prepare for the future. We're God's people. We don't prepare for the future the way the worldly people do, okay? And we need counsel before our children graduate, and we need counsel as our children are graduating. We need counsel during a relationship. Some call it dating. Some call it courtship. But let me say this too. Most of us that are in our church, it just happens because we started the church. This is a really 24 years is not a real old church. Most of us are first generation Christians. Please get this. First generation Christians typically need more counsel than second and third generation Christians. Okay. By the way, I'm not, I don't need any more counseling appointments. I really believe the Lord put this message on my heart, and I think this is what I need to preach. I really don't. I see people Saturday afternoon, it's counseling. Okay, so I thought that was your day off. I thought it was too, but it's not. Okay, and I see people Sunday night after church a little bit for very brief, and then sometimes during the week. I'm not trying to get any more counseling appointments, but I love the people of this church. And God gives us a remedy, okay? A lot of us, we stay fixed in a problem. Now we're succeeding over here. And sometimes when we're succeeding in one area, it's almost like a cover-up for all the failures in the other area, okay? Other areas. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 33, please. By the way, and again, I am not promoting my counseling line, or we don't need a bunch of phone calls on Monday morning. Next thing you know, you got 50 phone calls, and everybody wants to line up. I'm available, and there's others that are too. We have godly leaders here at the church, but I'll just tell you this: there's people in our church right now. If you don't get counsel pretty soon, it's not going to be good. It's just not going to be good. Psalms chapter number 33. Let me say first, I got nine quick points. I hope they're quick. The best counsel comes directly from God's word. The best counsel comes directly from God's word. Okay, and we don't have all the Bible memorized, and we're not all theologians, but the best counsel comes right from God's word. Psalms 33, and let's look at verse number 10. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. the thoughts of his heart to all generations. You see, God's counsel doesn't change. Okay? You know, hey, some of us, we those of you who've been around and you've been wearing ties, you know, remember the fat ties? And then the skinny ties? And then the medium ties? And then you got the paisley ties. What's paisley? No paisley ties. Then you have, what are these? Plaid ties. Okay? By the way, when I was in college, they had sock ties. Remember the sock ties? Those were goofy looking. They look like socks. It looked like you're wearing a sock. Now look, dress changes and tastes change, but God's word never changes. The best counsel we can get, and by the way, God's word is like non-negotiable. It's not like, oh, I don't like that one, but I like this one. God's word standeth forever, and that's the best counsel we can get. Let me say this, to much of my counsel, and I would encourage you, if you're a Christian, come to church Sunday morning when we have the church services, Sunday night, we have midweek. The best counsel I give is when I'm preaching. And you just sort of, we preach the word of God. Let me say number two, the safest, by the way, I'm a risk taker. You know, I like to take risks, and I take calculated risks. And I think as a Christian, there's got to be some risk or there's no faith. And I'm not going on this. But please get this. The safest Christians are those that get wise, godly counsel. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. The safest Christians, there's things I don't want to take a risk on. Okay? I don't mind taking a risk on a few things, but Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 14. The safest Christians are those that get godly, wise counsel. Okay? Look at Proverbs 11, verse 14. Okay? Where no counsel is, the people fall. The people what, class? Fall. Okay? But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. There's safety. Okay? I'll tell you who's got a safe marriage today. You get sound advice from the Word of God, and probably you've got sound advice from some older, godly other people, that either a pastor or maybe some godly leader in a church that's given you sound advice. Sound. By the way, multitude, please get this. This is not the multitude of counsel. I decide what I want to do. Then I go look around and find somebody that'll agree with what I'm going to do. And I talk to this guy, says, no, that's not a good idea. I talk to this guy. And then pretty soon after you go to 50 people, that's not, multitude of counsel means more like this. I need advice for my car. I'm not going to Brother Myers. I don't even think he knows how to put oil in a car. Okay? I'm not going to Brother Pineda. Who am I going to go to? Where's Dave DaCosta? I'm going to Dave DaCosta for counsel. Because he's a mechanic, and he's a good man. And by the way, believe it or not, he's one of those rare, honest mechanics. Man, Brother Dave has saved us thousands of dollars, not only in the church personally, because you bring it to the shop, and they, you got this, this, and this, and he says, no, you don't. You got to do this. Yeah, you might have to do that in about 3,000 or 4,000. You don't have to do it now. They're safe. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. There's safety, okay? Too many people walk on thin ice all the time. You say, why? They're just sort of shooting from the hip, like walking in the dark without a flashlight. And I think we'll do okay. Proverbs 24, verse number 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. It's safe. Your marriage is safer. Your children are safe. Don't look. We got all these new moms, and there's a bunch of ladies are going to have babies. We have these little children. Don't gamble on how you rear your children. Look at the Word of God, and then you know what you might want to do? Find somebody that has godly adult children, okay? And preferably if the children are adults and married and they're godly, and it's like you might want to go to them for advice. You're safer in your marriage. You're safer with the children. You're safer with your future. You're safer with your finances. Don't go to the guy that's, filed for bankruptcy 5 times in his life and he's broke as Job's turkey, and you go to him for financial advice. Wrong guy to get advice. Okay, let me sort of, by the way, when I was 19, I went to my pastor on where to go to Bible college. I was going to go somewhere else. He said, go here. And actually, in a wise way, and I won't do it. And I did it. After I was in Bible college for a year, I wanted to come home. You say, why? Because all Bible, just about all. He says, man, this is, you're homesick, and I was broke. I sold my car to pay my bill. I sold my motorcycle to pay my bill. I was broke. I didn't have a job. And I called my pastor, and I said, the only way I can stay here is if I borrow $1,000. That was 1980. And for a guy 20 years old, 19, 20 years old, $1,000 was. And I remember him teaching on don't borrow, don't borrow, don't borrow. And I knew he was going to say don't borrow. And so I called him, and I got on the pay phone. That's back. By the way, there used to be what we call pay phones. How many remember those days? Remember those? Yeah, they're sort of out. I don't know if they have those anymore. It was way back in Abraham Lincoln's day, okay? And I got on the payphone in the college, and I knew my pastor was going to say, come home. And he said, stay there. I was bummed out. But I listened to him. By the way, if I didn't stay there, I wouldn't have my wife. If I didn't stay there, I wouldn't be a pastor. And I just listened to him. To come out here to start the church, I got counsel. I didn't just, hey, let's go. I got counsel. I remember I was dating a girl, and I didn't want to marry her. I'm not saying I didn't like her. I liked her, but I wasn't to the place, you know what I'm talking about? It wasn't like, let's get married yet. She was like, boom, 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 boom. She was putting it forward, and she wanted to get married. And I went for counsel, and I expressed to the godly leader there about the whole thing, and he said, in a nice way, he said, drop her like a hot potato. By the way, sometimes counseling could help you too, because then you could blame somebody else for making those decisions. I went and told her, I said, man, it's all his fault. It was sort of hard. I needed to stop that relationship. There was nothing unholy about the relationship. It just, I got counsel, and here I am now, married for 26 years now, and it's been wonderful. Let me say quickly, number three, realize often, this is very important, realize often our way of thinking is wrong. Realize often our way of thinking is wrong. We need counsel. Look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Realize the way it seems to us, according to God, it's not always right. Proverbs 16. Look, if you would, to verse 25. Proverbs 16, verse 25. Okay? There is a way that seemeth right. Okay, I have that word circled right. There's an arrow off to the margin, and it says not wrong. So there's a way that seemeth right. It's not saying there's a way that seems wrong, but it seemeth right unto a man. But look at this. But the end thereof are the ways of death. He said, you know, sometimes there's something like, this is it. This has got to be it, man. We're so excited. And God's going, no, it's not. Look, if you would, to Proverbs 14, verse 12. We live in a real emotional culture, okay? So everything's based on feelings. It seems like that's what I'm supposed to do. Look at verse number 12 of Proverbs 14. Same, by the way, when God says something once, it's important, but if he says it twice, it's even more important. There's a way which seemeth right, not wrong, unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Turn over to Proverbs 12, verse 15. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right, not wrong, right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And I've shared a little bit of this story before, but I was 26, maybe 27, and I was sure. I am telling you, I was sure. It seemed very sure that I was supposed to go to Florida and help a man start a church. I mean, I was sure. I was really sure. It seemed to me the right thing. By the way, my contemporaries, like we read a little bit, the guys that I grew up with or the guys I went to college with, they're all like, wow, you get to do this? And I won't tell you all the details because we don't have all the time. You get to do this? And I'm like, wow, why me? By the way, I'll tell you one thing too. I didn't get counsel from my wife. I don't know why she didn't tell me. She sort of thought all along I shouldn't have done it. Then after we shot ourselves in the foot, she said, I knew we weren't supposed to. I'm thinking, you tell me now. And it seemed like this was the thing to do. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. By the way, and I'll get to this in a minute if we have time. We might not have time. I got counsel from somebody that I thought was pretty godly. Later on, I found out his marriage wasn't that right. His finances were sort of in a shamble, and he wasn't under authority. Don't get counsel from those type people. That wasn't his fault. It was my fault. I got counsel from the wrong people. And I'll tell you this, it was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. My wife and I, we moved, and my wife and I almost died spiritually. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And so don't think, oh, I know this. You know, by the way, I've talked to people. And I'm getting ahead of myself. I've talked to people, and I'm thinking, this guy's going to ruin his life, and he thinks he's doing the best thing for his family and for his wife and for his children and for everything. You say, what does he need? He needed sound counsel. Real fast, look at number four. Counsel helps you to have a godly future. Okay? Counsel. Safe. It's God's safety net. But it helps us to have a godly future. Look at Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And look at verse 20. Proverbs 19 and verse number 20. Counsel helps you to have a godly future. Look at verse 20. Hear, Proverbs 19, 20, counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. It's going to help you in the future. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Look, the young people, we've been here 24 years, and people die, and people move, and people go in the military, and people are transferred jobs and stuff. But let me say this. We have a bunch of young people around here that are still serving the Lord. I'll tell you who they are. It's a Nathan Ross that started coming here 14. When he was 14, he would tell you he was not a really good Christian at that time. He's a wonderful Christian now, has a wonderful wife, has a wonderful family. I'll tell you, other than his walk with God, is Brother Ross is not afraid to get counsel. As a matter of fact, Brother Ross has for all these years gotten counsel. And so counsel helps you to have godly future, and I don't want to belabor that thought. Number five, this is very important. Unsought counsel is often resented and rarely heeded. Look at Proverbs 20. Unsought counsel is often resented and rarely heeded and rarely followed. Look at Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, and I'll explain that in just a minute. Proverbs 20, verse number 5. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Please look up here. You say, what's God saying there? If you want counsel, you got to go for it. Okay? I've learned this. Counsel, don't give counsel that's not asked for. Matter of fact, in a little bit, I'll give you the definition of counsel. Unsought counsel is most of the time resented and rarely listened to. I'll just say this. As a pastor, I'm not a pastoral police officer. Now, if these guys that are on staff are doing something that's ungodly or, you know, it's out of sorts or they're not, then I have a responsibility as their pastor. But I don't get in everybody else's business. Nobody wants a pastor that's snooping around everybody's business. Okay? But I'll tell you this. I watch people ruin their lives. Ruin their lives. So, why don't you go say something? Because they'll get mad at me. Yeah. They'll get mad at me. Then, maybe when they're ready to get help, they won't want to go to me because they're going to say, pastor was nosy. Let me say this. You don't have a nosy pastor. Okay? First of all, I don't have a Facebook, so I'm not checking out your Facebook. And I don't even know how Facebook works. I don't Google up your name and seeing if, you know, you have a, I don't check, I don't know what you can do. I do know this, you can do a lot more than I wish you could do on the internet to check out people's backgrounds, okay? But I don't do that. But you say, well, pastor, what's the point? Point is this. Proverbs 20 verse 5 says, listen, counsel in the heart of man, okay? So if Brother Charlie, he's got the counsel, is like deep water, it's like a well. But a man of understanding, Brother Ray, will draw it out. Meaning, if Brother Ray wants counsel, he's going to go to Charlie and say, brother, can you help me? Well, I need some counsel, okay? Be careful about being the walking Solomon of the church. Getting involved in everybody else's business, okay? I do not give counsel unless someone asks me for it. And truthfully, a lot of people come and ask me for counsel, and they don't really want counsel. They want me to bless what they're going to do. I'll say this. And a lot of times they don't get it. I'll say, now, would you like to ask me anything? Because they're not asking me anything. I have people say, pastor, I'm going to do this and this and this. And, yeah, we're going to do this. I go, okay. I say, would you like to ask me anything? No, I just want to let you know. Okay, would you like me to pray for you? Yes. You know, I'm like, I don't know how to pray for this one. Okay, unsought counsel is often, is rarely heeded and often resented. Okay? Let me say this. Single ladies, okay, we have a, and I know that for new folks out there, sometimes we say things on Sunday morning, you just, what'd he say? We're going to have to listen to that one on the internet. But I have three daughters, and we have a questionnaire for any possible future life partners. And they got to come to me first. You do your daughters your way. I do my daughters my way. Okay? By the way, if you knew what I knew, you'd probably have, our questionnaire is over 300 questions. And I think every month we're going to add about 20 more. Because once I get married, it's too late. You understand that? And by the way, the older I get, the more narrow I get. Oh, well, you just fuck. I didn't say that's for you. That's for me. But I'll tell you this. On the question, one of the questions is this. If we have problems, if you consider my future daughter to be your spouse, if you, sir, by the way, and my daughters aren't married yet. But probably the way I'm going, they'll never get married. Okay, I scare them all off. They come to me, man, they better be serious. But one of the questions is, will you go for counsel if you need help? And by the way, the questionnaire, I'll look the guy in the eye, okay, and you know, let's be real straight on this. Because once they, by the way, please get this. I'm not doing premarital things right here. But let me say this. Dads, you're responsible until they say I do. Yeah. You're responsible to God. So use the influence and authority that God has delegated to you for your daughters. Okay? And so, because man could really put on a really nice show during that dating and courtship time. So you better get beneath the fluff. But one of the points is, and I'm getting ahead of myself, is you make sure that guy is under authority. Make sure that he's willing. If they're having a little problem, you get some. You know, one of the problems with us, we're way too independent. Just shot in the dark and just go for it. Number six, we got a lot to go here. Get counsel before you do something big. Okay, unsought counsel is often resented and rarely heeded. Number six, that was number five. Get counsel before you do something big. Proverbs 20. Look, this is good. Proverbs 20. Look, a lot of my life is over 24 years of pastoring one church has watched people make bad decisions. The hard part is I just watch them. And I'm thinking, I wonder if they're going to get advice. And then you know what I watch? They go to the wrong people for advice. I'm going, you're kidding me. By the way, if you knew what I knew about the people that they're getting advice from, I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Okay? And so God says, get it from his word. And then look at verse number 18. Get counsel for big things in your life. Every purpose is established by counsel. And with good advice, make war. Now, we're not going to war in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever we're going to war without a cabinet of counselors. I'm not saying I'm for or against. We're not talking about that. But what do you do before you go to war? You get good advice. Amen? And so before you make big decisions, get counsel. Again, dads, and every once in a while do this because, dads, don't let your daughter get involved with any guy that you haven't gotten good advice from. About. You say, why? Well, I want them to get to know each other a little bit first, and then it's too late. I've said this. We've been able to get guys off of drugs. We've been getting them out of the gangs. We've been able to get them off of dope and alcohol. But you get a guy and girl together and they've given each other their hearts, it's over. You cannot separate them. Oh, but what about I know the grace of God and I believe in the grace of God, but I'll tell you what, you need a triple dose of grace to split them up if they're the wrong ones. And so that's a big thing. You say, oh, why are you getting on that? It must be the Holy Spirit because, I don't know, maybe someone came to you to talk to you about your daughter. We don't have time. Man, that's our daughter. We got several police officers in our church, and they've told me what they've had to go through, the testing, the pre-testing before you get into the academy. Somebody getting into a military academy is not nearly, I'm sorry, a police academy is not nearly as important as someone who's going to take off with my daughter for the rest of her life. And we just, oh, well, do you love each other? We don't even talk about love. Love's like the last thing. I want to see if this guy loves God. I want to see if this guy's been involved with pornography. Come on. And if he has, let's help him. Okay, unfortunately, you're going to have to disciple your future son-in-law if you're going to have a good one. Because we're in this world, it's just like the fishing pond is like, you know, all the fish have died. We got to just, I guess, do like evolution and make our own. Changing in careers. Number seven, be careful about getting the wrong counsel. I already said that. King Rehoboam, and we won't go back there just because of time. King Rehoboam in 1 Kings 12 got the wrong counsel. He got wrong counsel from the wrong people, and it caused enormous problems. Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Someone that's not godly. Say, well, they're smart. They have a PhD. Or they... I had someone, and by the way, some of you, your insurance will pay for counsel. You know that? For professional counseling. Some of your medical insurance will pay for your work insurance. Be careful. Well, it's paid for. Nuclear bombs paid for, man. It's going to kill a bunch of people. I had a guy one time, he told me, he said, Pastor, we're going, my wife and I were going for professional counseling, and my work insurance pays for it, and we found a Christian counselor. Oh, good. Good. Come to find out, both the counselors they're going to were divorced. And by the way, we love divorced people. I'm not sure if that's the professional counselor I want to go to for marriage. Right? Some of the best Christians in our church have been divorced, and God bless you. But I'm saying this. And then, by the way, you know, if I'm weak in an area, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be lenient in that area. And the man says, it seems like they were sort of leaning towards us getting a divorce. Like, man, you get out of that office, like bubonic plague's in there? Get out of there. You're talking to the wrong people. Yep. Let's go to the next point. Number 8. It's best to get counsel from somebody you really know and they really know you. Okay? These older men that Rehoboam should have gotten his got it from, but he didn't listen to them. These older men were just known. Okay? They if you're around for long, they said they were contemporaries of Solomon. And they were well known. Okay? And again, be careful who you're getting counsel from. I got counsel from someone who was a good talker, very smart, and convinced me that I was supposed to do something, and it was the worst decision that was ever made in my life because I got counsel from the wrong person, okay? Be careful. Be careful. Make sure that they have the spiritual credentials. Make sure, by the way, the Bible says a pastor, his family's supposed to be in order. Doesn't have to be a perfect family, but his marriage should be in order. His home should be in order. You say, why? Because his biblical problem-solving skills from the Word of God should be practiced in the home before I practice on him. I never forget, my brother said, he said, I had a medical doctor who was 500 pounds. Guess what? I'm changing doctor offices. Anybody with me? I'm not going to get advice on how to take care of my heart from him. Because probably sooner than later, I'm going to hear that he died of a heart attack. Make sure you're getting counsel from the right people. Number 9, and I'm done. Realize counsel is, and I already said this, is not getting somebody's opinion or asking someone to pray for you about your decision. The definition of counsel, okay, here's a good definition of counsel, is to give advice upon request. Okay? So give advice upon request. So request means I go to Brother Charlie and say, can you give me advice on this? It's not this. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. Can you pray for me? By the way, I said the big, big bad decision I made in Florida. Guess what I did? I went to my pastor. I told him what I was going to do, and he looked at me and said, so would you like me to say anything about that? And I said this. I should have, I can't, like it's, you know, what's the book called? Don't Trust Anyone Under 40. I was 26, 27. I said, no, can you pray for me? He said, sure. And then I'll never forget, he looked at me like this. He said, and this was the first time it happened. He looked at me and said, if you have any doubts about what you're going to do, come back and see me. It's like he put a spirit on me. Like, as soon as I left, I'm like, I had all kinds of doubts. And I think it was the Holy Spirit saying, you didn't get counsel. Here you are, 26-year-old guy. You're going to make this big decision, and you got counsel from really someone that you don't know, and you could get counsel for somebody that's been a pastor for 40 years, and yet you went and made this bad decision. And I said, I don't give counsel to people that don't ask for counsel. It's hard. It's hard. I'm not a Solomon. I am 51. I've pastored one church for 24 years. I've watched cause and effect. Now, I know the word of God, but I've watched cause and effect. You say, what's cause and effect? You do this, this happens. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I'm going, they're doing it. They're doing it what that person did and that person did, that person did. And every time they did it, that happened. I could give story after story to, you know, where counsel, where there's no counsel, the people fall. And I had a wonderful Christian in our church. They came to me and they told me what they were going to do. I said, okay. I did it. How many ever try to hint? You ever hint? And by the way, I knew this brother, and I knew the sister, and I knew the children. It didn't mean, it was just, I'm their pastor. Okay? And he went off to get counsel from somebody that didn't know him. He knows him in a superficial way. They're friends, and, you know. And I did everything I could to hint and to say, brother. Okay? He didn't ask me for advice. He told me what he was going to do. And want me to pray for him. By the way, you ask me to pray for you, as long as you're not going to do something sinful, I'll pray for you. And I squeaked out some warnings. And he didn't listen. His whole life, his marriage is, kids are all over the place. These were good people. Why? There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You say, what's this message for? I don't know. I do know this. We live in a day and age where everybody wants to do their own thing. And more people in this world are making bad. You say, why are we in such a mess in America? I'll tell you why we're in such a mess in America. We're in such a mess. And by the way, why is the American church in such a mess? They now say in the church, 50% of the people in the church get divorced. Not this church, but in the church in general, get divorced. You say, why? Well, there's many reasons why. One of the main reasons why they're falling because they're not getting counsel. And really, the reason we're not getting counsel is because a lot of times we know what we're supposed to do and that way the same, and we're afraid that the counselor is going to tell us that's not the best thing. But listen, if the counselor knows the advice from God's word, they're only trying to keep you safe. Amen. Let's bow our heads for just a moment and let's stand together.